Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy hump day!
Hump day!
Yeah.
That was
hump
weak.
Day.
Oh, yeah.
That was so weak.
Yeah, you're asleep?
That was terrible. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss.
Hump day.
Yeah.
There we go. Dust in the grades.
Damn, left me out in the cold.
Crickets. This is my favorite part. The boss man can't bring it. Dustin has no, he's got no donkey music.
He's got no whoop whoop.
He's got no donkey. Yeah. And Country's in the booth, my favorite person. How are we doing today, Country?
Doing all right.
I love it. Well, we got a great show for you guys tonight. Plenty of things going on in the poker world. And of course, we are on the WSOP countdown. So World Series of Poker kicks off here in just about 7.5 days, I think, is what the ticker was trending on the way in. So we got 7 days before we start talking Mad Poker, World Series of Poker bracelets, everybody chasing that dream. And to kind of see, as we've looked at the predictions and trying to determine what it's going to look like the first time back live from the start of the pandemic, I'm curious to just kind of follow and see what happens with the tournaments, what type of outcome they get, how many people in fact do show up. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to consider, right? Like, we have travel bans still.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really interesting. Apparently there is still a travel ban in the United States on anybody coming in from lots of places around the world, including Europe. And that travel ban is in effect until November 1st. Coincidentally, right before the main event, but not before all the preliminaries. So I'm sure there's ways people get in and there's ways around the ban. I don't know really what that looks like. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's really hard to get here from Europe right now.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that have planned this out.
Yeah.
And thought about it and have looked at, and probably people who have also, in fact, traveled during the travel ban and tried to go around. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that have already mapped out on exactly how they're going to get to the WSOP.
Sure. I mean, I know in the past there was some businessmen out of France that had to come to the United States, and they had to go to Dubai and spend 2 weeks in quarantine in Dubai before they could come to the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's other places other than Dubai, but that was one of the places that they could fly from after being in a hotel for 2 weeks.
That's some serious dedication.
That's what I'm talking about, serious dedication. Yeah. So if you're coming out for the World Series of Poker just to play a poker tournament, are you going to go somewhere and quarantine for a couple weeks first in another country just so you can come to this country for a few weeks? I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of people that I'm certain that have been thinking about this, people that that will travel, people that are dealing with getting vaccinated and all of that stuff leading up to the World Series. And I know it's a hot topic right now, so we're going to talk about the WSOP as we continue through the program. But, you know, speaking of being overseas and gaming and things that have changed and restrictions, Macau, which is the gaming capital of the world, right? Which is kind of hard to believe because in my mind, I always sort of feel like you look at it and you're like, Las Vegas.
Right.
But it's not. Macau is the gaming capital of the world.
Yeah, Macau, it's considered the gaming capital of the world because the most amount of money.
Correct.
Goes through Macau. It's not the biggest. It doesn't have the most casinos. Doesn't have the most hotel rooms.
There's only a few casinos, in fact.
Only a few casinos, just a little strip of casinos. But more money is wagered there than pretty much the rest of the world combined.
Combined together. So with that being said, it's pretty interesting that the Chinese government has plans to implement stricter regulations for Macau casinos. So what does that look like, right? So this comes, they're starting to rebuild and looking at terms of whether or not all the licenses are up for renewal in June of 22. So
yeah, and you know, this has happened before, the where they've had to renew their licenses. Mm-hmm. And every time it happens, I think, wow, they could just pull the rug out from underneath
and have no gaming at all.
They just say, no more.
We're done. We're out.
No licenses for you. Or You know, I think the licenses must be about 5 years, because I thought this last time they could just say, you know what? Nobody other than Chinese.
Yep.
So no American companies, which would, you know, eliminate Wynn and the Sands and GM, and just, you know, Stanley Ho gets his gambling strip back.
It's totally nuts. So there's 9 areas of the casino market with new stricter rules, including the possibility of changing the number of licenses available. Now, this is interesting because one of two things could happen, right? They could either A, take away some of the licenses, like the boss man just pointed out, or they could add licenses. So are people like jockeying for a position to be able to add another casino into the gaming capital, gaming mecca of the world, right? But here's what I thought was interesting when they talk about proposals and some of the things that are going to change. So the length of a license validity. So I don't know if that's 5 years or what that looks like. But also more employee protection measures.
Whatever that means.
Right. So when I run through this list, I feel like it's kind of interesting. Strengthened verification for junket operators. Strengthening official requirements for operators. Promoting projects with non-gaming elements, adding a social responsibility requirement, clarifying the criminal liabilities, which I feel like...
Wow. They're combining a few of these things, like clarifying the criminal liabilities and having stricter regulations
on the junkets is the same thing.
Is the same thing, right. The junket operators, it was just a free-for-all for years where they would just bring people over with lots of money and they would get a piece of the action, so... The casinos didn't care where the money came from or where the people came from. They just knew that there was a boat coming over from mainland China with a whole bunch of money on it.
With a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
So here's the last one that they talk about. Having government agents monitor daily operations. Now, in my mind, when I read this list, I think to myself, this is something that happens in every single casino, card room, any form of gaming facility in any capacity anywhere within this country. All of those things exist.
Right. We already have all those things.
We already have all of those things. So how is that such a hot topic to need to change? And like, what is it? I mean, what does it look like now? I was in Macau, right? I helped open Wynn Macau, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I remembered... It took so long for me to figure out. I could not grasp the junket aspect. Like, when I was there trying to understand how the junket operators worked and how people would actually come in and where they would get their players and how they were playing, whether it was against the house, not against the house, in these weird games that they would have, I just thought was totally bizarre. And I kept thinking to myself, this would never fly in the United States.
But, like, but the junket thing used to. It used to be a thing.
Right, when the mobs were like running gaming, right?
Right. I mean, to the elementary level, I remember going on a plane to Vegas from Albuquerque, and what all you really had to show was that you had like $500 in your pocket. Mm-hmm. That was it. Okay, show me $500. All right, you're good. Get on the plane.
No ID, no driver's license, nothing.
Whatever, nothing
now
matters.
Now it's $500 and a vaccine card.
Yeah, now you got to have a vaccine, right. But you just had to show that you had at least $500 cash.
Oh, he's good. Yeah, he can go.
And you could get on this junket plane, whatever.
Yeah.
And it would take you to Vegas, and it would, you know, cost you next to nothing for airfare and a hotel. And you'd be in some downtown.
Fancy golden nugget.
Fancy.
Yeah. At the time, the Golden Nugget was fancy.
It was fancy, yeah.
The El Cortez, the one you almost put out of business.
The El Cortez, yeah. That's right. I almost busted him.
You almost busted him that one night of blackjack.
Me and Jackie gone. I was going to take over his whole suite.
It's true. So while all this stuff is going on, Macau, what do you expect is going to happen, right? The stocks start plummeting. So I says to myself, self, is this a good time to start looking at maybe reinvesting or investing in some of these places? The Wynn Macau stock fell 34%.
I saw that. I was wondering what happened.
Sands dropped 28%. That's what it is. It's over this regulatory change that's going to happen in China. And depending on what that outcome looks like, it's going to dictate what happens to the stock, obviously.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting about this is about a week and a half ago, there was an article about how well it's going in Macau. how well everything is going and how it's coming back out of the pandemic, and they've been doing great and they're making tons of money. And everybody's going to Macau to gamble. So the stocks were rising.
Okay.
Right? Wynn and Sands and MGM, all these stocks were going up. Because like we said, you know, Macau moves the needle more than anywhere else. So if something bad happens in Macau, now when you say Wynn Macau stock went down, that's like a Macau stock. That's not the Wynn stock that you get here in the United States, which also
it's
went
just
way
Wynn
down.
Right, Wynn specifically, Wynn Macau property.
Right.
It's
but
separate. Yeah.
Wynn Resorts, regular stock, went way down in the last week, as did MGM and Sands and everything else. But it's interesting that just 2 weeks ago, they were talking about how everything's going well in Macau. But you're right. I mean, they pull the rug out from underneath them, then...
There's not going to be... There'll be nothing.
I said this a long time ago. The day they legalize gambling on mainland China is the day
we move.
Is the day Macau becomes a ghost town.
Yes, of course. Well, there's no question. Macau is, I feel like Macau is the right place to have it, though, in terms of having it in a good place, regulating. I think that, I don't know that it would ever be moved out of Macau. I don't think they'll ever have gaming just in China mainland. Like, not in our lifetime. I feel like it would be.
I mean, I feel like they might eventually, but you're right. It works well to be in Macau, mm-hmm. and they can say, we don't allow it in China.
Correct.
But you could just go right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just go through the store, down right. the hallway. Okay, there.
Sort of alleviates them from having to regulate and do all of this stuff that they don't want to have to deal with, but still provide the entertainment by being like, oh, you just take the boat. Whoop, there you go, Macau. Whoop, just go to that island. It's nice. Have a nice time.
Yeah.
Have a go nice to time. Disney. Come back. Tell me all about it, right?
Yeah.
Kind of what it is. Disney for adults.
Pretty much. But, you know, I don't think all those limitations that they... I don't think those were all like other. I mean, I don't think those were things that are going to limit people from going there to gamble as much as we think. Because, like you said, we already have all those in place here in the United States.
It won't, but the gaming in Macau is very different. So, the expectations of what you get in terms of a casino experience, and you have to remember, like, we're speaking from a poker standpoint, but it is an entire casino, right? Like,
right.
they have slot machines and table games and the whole shebang, right?
Mostly Baccarat. Most of their money is made off Baccarat, though, right?
They have a lot of Baccarat. They have a lot of weird pick games. I mean, they have blackjack. They play it in a very strange way. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember how they deal blackjack, but they deal it both, like, both of the dealer's cards are face down or something weird happens. Cause I remember thinking, I was like, how am I supposed to know what's going on here? I was like, I feel like something shady. Baccarat is very big there. They have a game called Buttons, which is really interesting. And that's a lot of fun. And it kind of looks like the table looks similar to like a roulette table in terms of like the layout. There's a bunch of numbers and different ways that you can bet. Excuse me. But what happens is, the dealer, so you're betting on the outcome of what's going to happen, and you are betting on how many buttons the dealer grabs, right? Which sounds like the most ridiculous thing in the world. And when I say buttons, yeah. I'm not joking. Like, buttons off your shirt in a bag, like a Crown Royal bag, full of all these different size, colored, shaped buttons. And you're betting on what you think the dealer is going to pull out or dump out. And, I don't remember if they reached in with their hand or they had some sort of a little apparatus, but they pull it out and this is the number of buttons that were grabbed, and then they would separate it. And they use, like, you know, pharmacists use like the little tool
sticks.
That's used, to separate. And so they count the buttons out like that. And then your bet is paid on, like, right, there's several things about the game. How many buttons there are, what types of buttons there are, what colors there are. And so
odd
it's
buttons,
super bizarre.
Buttons.
But this game, they make a ton of money. So blackjack, baccarat, buttons. There's another weird game that I can't remember what it's called now at this time. But those are their primary games. You don't see a whole lot of slot machines. In fact, there's very few of those. Everything is predominantly cards and something that you can actually touch or interact with. And that's where they make a lot of their money. But it's an interesting concept. And anyway, so we'll keep an eye on Macau. So if you're looking to invest in a stock and Wynn has plummeted, like I said, 34% and Sands has dropped 28%. So if you want to look at that and you feel like gambling and think that Wynn Macau is going to survive the next overhaul of Chinese government regulations, then that's definitely a stock that you want to invest in. You got your stock tip here. I feel like you get like, I get like 10% finder fee or something.
Yeah, and it's hard to say. I mean, is you know, if they get, you know, the more strict they get, the lower the stock goes.
Correct.
And then, you know, once it happens and they have to implement these things and then they get used to it and then they find ways to bring in business and it goes back up.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we got lots of World Series of Poker to talk about. I know that all three of us sitting in this room at this exact moment have plans to be in Vegas sometime in the very near future. We're going to talk about our plans, your plans. Hopefully some of you guys are planning to head out, play a little poker, hopefully lock up a WSOP bracelet, bring some gold back to Jacksonville. And if you want to talk about us, we're going to give you an opportunity in the next segment to give us a call. But we're going to take a quick break now. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Justin the Boss, Dustin the Great, to talk in all things poker. So we got WSOP plans, the World Series of Poker, for those of you who are not familiar with our acronym, one of the millions in poker. The WSOP is kicking off here in just about 7 days, a little over 7 days, and I know we all have plans to be there at some point during the series because we can't be there for the entire series. But there's so much wrapped up in the World Series of Poker this year. People are getting very excited. Some people are very disgruntled about it. 641-1010 is the phone number. We're happy to take your calls now. Hear what you what are your thoughts about the World Series? Are you going to travel? Are you not going to travel based on the stipulations that they've now implemented this year? But again, remember, this is the first year that the WSOP is returning in person at the Rio since pre-pandemic. So the last live WSOP was in 2019, right? So 2020 was all online.
Yep.
They did like a weird kind of like hybrid where they had some of the events in the summer where it normally would have been, and then they moved some to the fall, if I remember correctly. It was sort of like a weird split thing.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then this year they've moved it entirely to the fall, this timing. So we start September 30th and it will run through November 14th or 17th or something. Yep. I think is the final day of the main event.
17th, I
think. And they just announced that there are 11 new bracelet events that are all online events, which have been added to the series, which I think is interesting. Now, if you remember, we talked about the World Series of Poker when they announced several things a while back. One of those things that they announced was talking about vaccines were going to be required in order to play in any event, whether it was a live cash game, a tournament, a deep stack, a bracelet event, so forth and so on. They go on to talk about this.
Or cash games, what we read today.
Or
right?
Cash games, yes. Cash games. Basically, you cannot participate in any WSOP event without being vaccinated. Now, we have to remember a couple things. First of all, the WSOP is hosted by the Rio. So the Rio is not requiring patrons to be vaccinated.
Nope.
Right? So now WSOP does say, of course, that their staff is also held to the same standards. So their staff is required to be vaccinated as well.
That's incorrect.
That's what I remembered reading on in the, is this not true anymore?
That's not true. The staff, they are encouraged them to get vaccinated and all the dealers and everybody will be wearing a mask, whether they're vaccinated or not. The players must be vaccinated and have the option to wear a mask.
Okay, because at one point they were going to be required to be vaccinated and wear a mask.
They kind of went back and forth on the news, basically, and you know, through the news feeds. It seemed like they were going to be required, then they weren't, then they were, then they weren't, but apparently they are not.
Right. I do remember this, yes. The staff.
Staff.
Right, correct.
Okay.
Caesar's staff. Effectively.
That was the last update that I heard.
Yeah.
Sure. And that might be accurate. I mean, the one that I'm reading here was from August 26th. It's on the WSOP website. I would assume it would have been updated if it was changed, but that's a vast assumption. So
Yeah, I mean the last we heard in that interview with Ty, what's his name? Ty Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Ty Stewart. The last interview with him, he said that they are encouraged to be vaccinated, and they were trying to get all their employees vaccinated, but everybody's going to wear a mask regardless as far as employees.
So the actual verbiage here, quote, says participants will be required to show proof that they are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 one time. So you have to do that upon your first registration to become eligible to participate in WSOP events, including bracelet events, deep stack tournaments, satellites, and live action games. So they're going to use Clear's free mobile app, which is a health pass, has a health pass feature where you can just upload your vaccine card and then you do it the one time. And once you're in the system, then you're good to go, right? To be considered fully vaccinated, you must have received your final vaccine 14 days prior to the start of whenever you're planning to, it's the start of your registration, right? So the policy is inclusive of all participants, spectators, press, and vendors. So everybody that's coming in for the WSOP, you're required to do this. Now, when we first had this conversation, we were talking about this, and I believe Kev Math was listening, and he was on the line, and there were no online bracelet events, because I said,
right,
is this going to be...
He said there was only one.
Yeah, I was like, is this going to affect or change something? Like, it seems like the understood you. Like, you're at home playing. Like, does it matter?
Right.
And the answer to that should probably be, no, it doesn't matter because you're playing online. However, when you state something so blanketly clear as to listing every type of thing that you must be vaccinated to participate in, and it says all and every, it doesn't say excluding online events. So I feel like what's going to happen if you get a guy who gets knocked out at the final table, let's say he's knocked out third, it doesn't matter. Let's say he doesn't win the event, and the guy who knocks him out is a player who's not vaccinated. How much of a fit is that guy going to pitch?
Oh, that's a curveball.
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like it's kind of a weird thing because you're saying, yeah, you're blanketly stating that you have to be vaccinated, but now you have all these... Now you're going to have 11 or 12, I think, total online events that are bracelet events. If that actually were to happen, like, does it create a problem?
I mean, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a sticky one.
Probably just need the lawyers to fix that in their fine print.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's interesting topic of conversation.
I mean,
but
you shouldn't have to.
You shouldn't need to clarify, but that's.
Clarify, you know.
Why we have law.
Shouldn't be a problem, but.
So 641-1010 is the phone number.
Shouldn't apply, as somebody says. They said it doesn't apply to online events, but is it stated?
But is it stated?
Apply?
Right. I mean, I would assume that it doesn't apply.
It shouldn't
apply,
right?
I feel like it has to be stated. If it's stated in other places that you're required,
no, we have to warn people not to eat the Tide things.
Yeah, yeah. You have to tell people don't eat Tide Pods.
Tell people not to eat soap.
When you put like the little salt packs and things to keep things fresh, you have to write do not eat because people will actually eat them. You would think that they would know not to eat that, but
they don't.
But you still have to tell people. So I guess that's my point, is now that they've added all of these bracelet events, is that going to turn out to be some sort of an issue? Like, are they going to find the one guy who's not vaccinated?
Well, they're probably
who somehow
listening
makes the
to
final
our show,
table.
Like, and they're probably going to add it in this evening, say, we need to add in does not apply to online bracelet events.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very possible also.
Thank you very much. Best Bet Poker Show.
So I want to know about your plans and what it looks like for you. Bossman, I know you have a Vegas trip coming up here in like the next week. And Dustin, I know you're planning to head to Vegas. I will also be going to Vegas. And we're all going, I think, at different times. There might be some overlapping opportunities where we can get together and hang in Vegas. But, you know, this is the time when people like us go to Vegas and you're going to work. Right? It's different than any other Vegas trip. Usually you go to Vegas and you don't remember what happened in Vegas. That's why it stays in Vegas, because you don't have any idea what happened.
Right.
So that's why it stays there. But this time we go out, we're working, right? We're being productive. We're pokering, if you will, right? We're either playing or we're working in some capacity dealing with the industry. So this trip, you go out, you need to be vaccinated to play. You need to be vaccinated in order to work at Best Bet as of October 15th.
Correct.
So it's not that much of an issue for you guys, I would think. But like, have you thought about in terms of the way the series is going to run and have any concern about contracting COVID or with their protocols at all?
I mean, I've thought about it, obviously. You know, I think about every day as far as, you know, being careful where to wear a mask, where not to wear a mask. I am vaccinated, obviously. I mean, I say obviously because...
Yeah, it was like, not obviously.
At work, I mean,
right.
We are required to be vaccinated. So, and I just, you know, thought it was the right thing to do. So I got vaccinated. But, yeah, I think about it. And, you know, we're going to Vegas. Do I want to sit there? So my plan in Vegas, obviously, as you said, we're going out there to work. Also, there's a conference in Vegas. An expo. The Global Gaming Expo happens.
The G2E.
The G2E happens, and it hasn't happened in a couple of years. And we go out there every couple of years to see what's new, what's cool, what kind of systems there are, and, you know, who knows, right?
What's the latest and greatest on the breaking front of poker?
That's right. And remember, we're in the process of building a new venue, our Best Bet St. Augustine location. So we need to go out there and see what's going on, see what's new and great at the G2E. But my plan is to show up a couple days early and play one poker tournament. Just one.
Because you just plan on winning an event, and then that's it. You're
exactly.
Head
I only need to play one tournament because it's a 3-day tournament. So I'm actually showing up 2 days early.
On next week's show, we'll cover managing expectations in the world of poker.
Yeah, well,
the 25K horse, right?
Yeah.
It's the 1500 horse. I wish it was the 25K horse. It's 1500 Omaha 8 or better. Excuse me. So I'm going to play in the $1,500 Omaha 8 or better that starts on the first. Unfortunately, I cannot play in the 25K horse.
Because you won't be there.
Well, I won't be there, and I don't have
25K to play the horse back. Well, here's the thing. Like,
I'd have to sell 98% of myself.
Well, the funny thing is like when you start talking especially about the high roller events, like we've talked about this in reference to the main event, but like playing those events and putting up the money, investing, you're investing in yourself to do well, right? You're investing in yourself to do well, but you have this lingering variable that is so incredibly unknown in terms of a health variable.
Right.
How do you navigate the waters to say whether or not it's a good idea to play? I mean, is it just like, I feel like it's almost a silly question, but is it just a straight gamble to jump into a tournament that's 14 days or 7 days long or whatever it is? Anything that's exceeding, like anything that's exceeding 2 days is really tough.
Well, you know, here locally, we've cut back on our tournaments and made them mostly, for the most part, single-day events. Just so
and you guys have done a great job.
No issue. We do have some events where the final table comes back the next day.
And that's fine.
We just didn't want to have a lot of multi-day events where people, you know, whatever, get sick and can't make day two. And,
you don't want to have events where you have, like, starting days A through Z.
No, we don't want to have any of that. But you're right. So that is a concern, multiple-day events. You know, I don't know. I'm just, I'm going to go. I'm going to be safe. And another question is, if you're allowed to wear a mask, but it's not required. So this is a funny thing, right? Right before the pandemic, at the TDA, the Tournament Directors Association meeting, we were talking about what can we do to get players to uncover their faces, because people were wrapping themselves up in scarves and covering their hoodies. Yeah. We're like, what do we do to get these things off of people? And then a couple months later, we go into this pandemic and everybody's wearing masks and we're requiring masks.
And then then everybody doesn't want to wear them before you had to tell them to take it off and now you're going to tell them to put it on.
They probably put on that mask.
Yeah.
Wrap themselves up with a scarf so all you see is their eyes.
Yeah.
So the question is, if you have an option to wear a mask at a major poker tournament, do you just wear one so it's a little bit more concealing of your face, so to help hide your tells?
On that note, we're going to take a break. I'm going to let people think about it. If you want to, like, I'm curious. I feel like this is interesting. If the mask mandate is dropped and you're not required to wear one, but you still may wear one, do you use that to your advantage? 641-1010 is the phone number. We're going to take your calls. When we come back, I'll let you know what I would do as soon as we come back. More with the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, talking everything about the World Series of Poker. It's hot on our heels here, 7 days away. A lot of people are looking into what the regulations are going to be. It's constantly changing. It's an ebb and flow every single day in terms of what they're going to require, whether it's a vaccine card, whether it's something uploaded online. And things are changing every day. I will say one thing that I'm sad about. So we've gotten a lot of text chat and calls that are coming in about people talking about things that they have seen the WSOP implement, changes that have been made. And I'm pretty sad that the WSOP website doesn't have that stuff up to date. Some of the things I have read and some of the things I have not seen. So until they actually update it on the site, I feel like, you kind of have to go with what they have on there.
And I obviously, this is very fluid. You know,
of course.
It's been fluid for the past couple years, and the everything keeps changing. The rules are changing. The ideas and the philosophy keeps changing, and it, as it should, right? We're in an evolving thing. It's new territory for everybody.
It's expected.
So I would just expect a total disaster around registration, especially your first time registering. And I would strongly, strongly encourage, if you're going out there to play, whatever you can do online before you get there,
do it.
You need to do.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that and you get there and you need to register, go to the Rio at 3 in the morning.
I was going to say 3 a.m., baby.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be a total disaster.
Yes.
Go there at 3 a.m. to register for whatever you can the next day, the next 2 days. And remember this. So the World Series has some weird rules. You can register for an event and never show up for it and not get penalized one time. I think you can do that one time.
One time only.
One time. After that, there's some sort of penalty or something, or you have to unregister before it starts, or I don't know what the deal is, but if you register for an event and just never show, they give you a pass, one time. One time, because what happens is, you know, there are multiple events a day, and some people who have the
triple headers,
right, have the ability to play literally every event. They'll sign up for every event that day and maybe get lucky, and they're still in an event and can't make it to the other one until registration closes. And they've already been blinded out or whatever. It's too late. So one time you get that. So there's some weird rules. But the point I'm trying to make is before you leave Jacksonville or wherever your city is, if you're going to play that first event, register for it online and set up your Clear app with your card in there and get it all sent in and do it all online so you're ready to go.
Yeah, carpe diem, baby, when it comes to the WSOP. Because I can tell you.
Moment.
Seize the day. I can tell you from speaking from experience, before they had the disaster with the pandemic and all of these added regulations, it was still a nightmare. Like, we would be having the same conversation telling you, register at 3 a.m. Don't go in there and expect to, like, walk in, get in line. If you're the guy that moseys into the 12 o'clock tournament at 11:58 and walks to the cage and expects to be seated by like 12:01,
no chance.
This is not a good plan.
It might be 12:01
the next day.
A.m.
Yeah, the next day. Like, you might not even get into the event because it's going to be, it's really going to be disastrous, especially
the
in the beginning.
The other thing is, if you're already set up on the Bravo mobile pay or whatever to register online before you get there, when you are there, there's a little room with kiosks in it where you can go in and sign up or get a re-entry ticket or whatever through the kiosk if you're already set up with an account. And it's just a credit card.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you.
And who doesn't want to play a poker tournament using their credit card?
I mean, pretty much everybody does. I'll be honest with you. With these events that they've added online, I almost feel like it would be kind of fun just to go and get, you know, like 6, 7, 8 of your buddies together, go rent an Airbnb somewhere in New Jersey, like close to the line, so you can just like you know, shoot across the bridge, hang out in the city for the day, come home, play a little poker. I feel like this sounds like a good way to spend a month.
I love it. It does, but I think the online, there's not enough of them to do that.
And there's one every Sunday.
Every Sunday, right.
Every Sunday throughout the series. You can play an online event either in Nevada or...
New Jersey,
thank you. And then there's one in Pennsylvania, actually, that they've added.
Pennsylvania
event.
What about Delaware?
I don't know. There's no mention of Delaware, which I actually think is interesting. So listen to this. So there were already 74 bracelets awarded during the WSOP online series that was held throughout the summer. There are 88 bracelets to be awarded during the WSOP coming up here that starts in 7 days. 15 European bracelets and 11 new online bracelets. That's a total of 188 bracelets to be handed out in 2021 for WSOP. That's a ton.
That's huge. Do you think that makes them like less coveted?
I was going to ask that. Like, is it devalue the bracelet?
Pretty soon, everyone's going to have a bracelet.
Yeah.
You don't have one?
I don't have one yet. I'm going to get one. I'm going to get one in about 2 weeks.
What are you playing?
I'm definitely going to play the $600. Deep stack on Monday when I'm out there. That might be the only event that I play this trip. I'm going to go back.
Is that a bracelet event or just the secondary event?
I'm pretty sure it's a bracelet event.
Well, I will say the one thing about the bracelet events is a lot of the bracelet events have better price points, but there are some that they threw in. So
there's some big ones, yeah.
There's some big ones. There's a $5,300 buy-in. There's a 77 on the 14th, 11/14th, there's a $7,777 buy-in tournament. It is online bracelet lucky sevens, no limit high roller with one re-entry. And then they have the online bracelet lucky sevens, no limit hold'em, two re-entries for $777.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't want to add that extra digit, you can just play the $700 event. They're both on the same day. They start 2 hours apart from each other. But it looks like there's a lot of opportunities everywhere from, it looks like the lowest buy-in here is $400 price point on the sheet that I'm looking at. So you have some $400 events all the way up to $7,000 and change, almost $8,000 events. So you get a little bit for everything. And the online events are going to be, I feel like generally, they're going to have larger fields this year.
Sure.
Which ones?
I think the online events are going to have larger fields
than
a lot of the in-person events because there's people that
don't want to be
vaccinated, that aren't choosing not to get vaccinated, are unable to get vaccinated, choose not to go to a casino.
Right.
Or they don't have to travel. They're just like, you know what? There's 11 bracelet events. Forget it. I'm going to stay right here in New Jersey and not go to Vegas. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
So I feel like that number, I think you're going to see some big prize pools there.
Yeah, I think those are going to be big.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited about it. I remember when the first online bracelet event became a thing, and the big issue was exactly to Dustin's point, like, well, if you can win it online, it's not even the same kind of game, right? You're playing online poker versus in-person poker.
It's a different game.
It's a very different game. And should there be bracelets awarded? And that was, I mean, when was their first online bracelet event? 3-4 years ago?
It's probably longer than that, but the first time they did an online bracelet event, they brought back the final table, I think, to play live.
I don't remember.
Which was weird.
I feel like it was like 5 years ago. It couldn't have been too long ago.
Maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
But I thought that was weird, right? They play online and then bring the final table back to play live.
To play live? Yeah. You're at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Or do you have an advantage, right? Like, it could go one way or the other.
So, like we said, like this, Simajack says he's going to play the reunion. If you plan on playing the reunion, you need to sign up ahead of time. Otherwise, you'll never get in. And that's a re-entry event. I'd be willing to bet that if you are eliminated inside of the registration period, it's very likely that you physically will not be able to re-enter because the lines will be too long.
That is too long.
And you'll never make it during the registration period.
I wonder when they're going to move to just being able to completely register and get everything pay through the app and not even need to go to the cage at the Rio.
Yeah, you just do it right on your cell phone from the table.
I mean, you should just be able to do that right immediately.
Why can't you just do that from, it's 2021, people. almost 2022.
Right, exactly. So Semajax also mentioned, he said, if you're planning on heading to Vegas, if you go to VegasPokerSchedule.com, it's a great way to schedule your trip, especially if you're looking for, I mean, obviously, if you're traveling for poker, this is a good way to see what poker tournaments are happening, what the price point is, where they're happening, what time they're happening, whether or not there's re-entry, how late registrations open till. I know, Dustin, you came across a spreadsheet that had a bunch of that information.
Yeah, I was literally just looking at it, trying to figure out my schedule and what I'm going to play.
And so, again, this is
you found that on Twitter somewhere, right?
Yeah, somebody sent it to me via Twitter. Yeah, I'll repost it on my Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, Uncle Dust Poker, and I'll repost it.
Yeah, and like Semajax said, VegasPokerSchedule.com is a great place to go for that also. You can get all your Vegas information there. But again, just remember, the World Series of Poker is going on. It's happening at the Rio, but there are so many tournaments that are going on throughout the city of Las Vegas and in so many different venues that your best price point and the greatest tournament might not actually be a WSOP event. I mean, I know people that travel and never step foot in the Rio other than to like walk in, say hi to friends, and that's it. They go for the series. Yeah. They spend the entire time there, and they never play a WSOP event. They play events at the Venetian. They play events at Wynn. They play events at the Gold Nugget or any of the other surrounding places that have tournament series that are going on because the price point is generally better. The juice is lower, and you don't have to deal with the cluster crap show, if you will.
And this year, vaccination.
That's exactly right. All right, we need to take our quick and final break, but when we come back, we have a $50 tournament voucher to give away. We'll talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, wrapping up the program. All right, as promised, we have that $50 tournament voucher that you're going to need for the summer, excuse me, the September Sizzler that's coming up here this weekend.
Sizzler.
September Sizzler coming up this weekend. So 641-1010 is the phone number. We will take the sixth caller right now, 641-1010. You will be the winner of a $50 tournament voucher that you can use for that September Sizzler. It's a $1,500 tournament. It is a single day event. They will come back and play the final table out on Sunday. So the entire tournament plays down to the final table on Saturday, coming back on Sunday. So that tournament will kick off at noon. It'll be in Jacksonville.
A great tournament. I wish I could play in this one.
$1,500 tournament. If you don't feel like ponying up the money, there's $280 satellites that are going on today, tomorrow, and Friday. So you can try to win your way in for that amount. If you are a cash player, there's tons and tons of high-hand opportunities going on both Jacksonville and Orange Park. In fact, as we roll into October, a really cool promotion that's happening in Orange Park, which you don't generally see these big high-hand promotions in Orange Park. They're either a combination of Jacks or Orange Park, but you have to be in Orange Park for this one. That is Saturday, October 2nd, so that's next weekend. It's a $10,000 day. So $10,000 is being given away at Orange Park by way of high hands, all cash, 10 straight hours. So it's definitely going to be packed. You're going to want to be there. Get there early. Come hang out. The times start at, I think, around 10 a.m.?
No, it's 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. and okay. 7 p.m. to midnight.
So 1 to 6 p.m. and then 7 p.m. to midnight. So afternoon, anytime in the early afternoon. But trust me, when I say get there early, you're going to want to hang out. Lots of cash going out the door and plenty of opportunities. Don't forget also the 1010XL main event. Stick it on your calendar. October 20th, five of your favorite 1010XL personnel. Knock them out. You get $110 back on the spot. And we will be giving away seats on the air in the upcoming weeks. So make sure you check us out. For all other information, go to bestbetjacks.com. That's going to do it for us tonight. But don't go anywhere. End of the night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.